Hello and welcome to episode 12 of series 2 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. Welcome to this episode of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If this is the first time you've listened to the show, then it's great to have you on board. There's lots of episodes, previous episodes available in this series, series 2, and also in series 1, which you can find at our website, which is engagingic.com, or via your podcast platform of choice, wherever you're listening to this podcast now. What I wanted to do just before we go into today's interview is just flag up what is coming up in next week's show. So next week, we have the last of the resources that I've been sharing with you, some free resources for you to download and an accompanying podcast to go along with it. And this is kind of finishing off our series of looking at your organizational values and how you can create your values from scratch, but also how you can also make those values more usable and find ways to get people talking about them and using them in different ways. So what we've got next week is the last of those five episodes or five short episodes, and we're going to be looking at how you can have a conversation with your teams about how well you are living those values within the organization and what you can do to better live them as well. So I hope you'll find that useful. That's next week, going out on the 20th of April, 2021. Obviously, if you're listening to this afterwards, that will probably still be already there for you to listen to. Then going forward, we're going to be then going into our fortnightly, continuing our fortnightly pattern of having fortnightly interviews. So on episode 14, which is going to be on the 27th of April, I've got Anna Kilmurray from ClearScore, who's going to be telling us all about the importance of employee brand and how that links in with engaging our employees and also engagement strategies as well. And then the 2 weeks after that, I've got Owen Weldon, who is from Merck, who's going to be telling us all about how to communicate with offline employees. So that will be of interest to you if you've got employees who are off the grid, are not using Yammer, Microsoft Teams. They're maybe working in factory or frontline environments where those tools aren't available to them. So I think you'll find that useful as well. So that's just a quick heads up of what's coming up in the next few weeks of the podcast. Also, just for your information, on the 29th of April, the Big Picture People, that's us, we're running a free webinar, which is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon UK time, which you can sign up for, and which is already fairly well subscribed. We've only got a maximum of 100 places at the webinar, and last time I checked, that was already well over half of those seats had gone. So 29th of April, if you want to book up for that, I'll tell you what it's about actually first. So the webinar is all about putting your people in the picture. It's all about how do you explain your organization's big picture to your people. And one of the things we've found through the work that we do is that senior leaders sometimes find it difficult to explain the vision, the values, the strategies of the organization to our employees. And that's often because they're very close to that information themselves. And often it's very complicated. So what we're going to be looking at is how our leaders and how internal communicators can help our leaders to communicate those complex messages and share that bigger picture of the organization and how it all fits together. So that's on the 29th of April, 3 p.m. in the afternoon UK time. It's a free webinar, entirely free, no charge at all. You can sign up for it via our website, so which is thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, and in our menu you will see events, and it's the first event that's listed on there. We have multiple events, but it's the first event. It's all about sharing a big picture of your organization with your people, and you can sign up for that via the link there, which is will take you to Zoom, where you can sign up for the webinar that way. So that's all for upcoming events, upcoming podcasts. Just before we go into the interview, I can just remind you, if you do find today's episode useful, or if you know anyone else who may find it beneficial, please share it with them. Please share the link with them. And also, if you're not already subscribed to the show via either via your podcast platform, which you can do whatever you're listening to this now, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, whatever, you'll see a subscribe button there. Please subscribe to the show so you get it every week into your podcast stream. stream. But also you can sign up for our mailing list as well. So we'll email you every week, let you know when the show has gone out, and also let you know what's coming up in next week's show. And you can do that at engagingic.com, our website. You'll see a sign up form there where you can sign up to our mailing list, and we will keep you in the loop, as it were, with our future episodes. Anyway, on to today's interview. I know from listener feedback that we've got a lot of people who work in organizations that are pretty fast moving, that are complex, and that are maybe 24/7 operations as well, where communications is very challenging. So I've been trying to do for a while is to reach out to someone who can tell us all about their experiences about communicating in an environment like that, a 24/7 operation, and also one where there is a huge amount of diversity of people in the workforce as well, people with different demographics, people with different backgrounds, people with different job roles, technical skills, and also in terms of communication skills as well, that can be very varied. So I've found for you today an amazing guest who works in an operation which is quite mind-blowing in terms of its scale and its size, and also its complexity, and also the fact that it's a really literally a business that never sleeps. It's also one that's been massively affected by the pandemic because of the nature of the industry that it's in as well. And so I just wanted to just reflect upon that as well, and how a business that never sleeps has had to sleep, and how the organization, and particularly from an engagement and communications perspective, has dealt with that. So I found this a fascinating conversation, and I hope you enjoy it too. So my interviewee today is Christina Vanova. Christina is Director of Employee Engagement and Internal Communications at Atlantis Resorts, Dubai. Christina is on a mission to create hope and positivity, and also to encourage happiness in the workplace and in people's personal lives as well. In her 12 years at Atlantis Dubai, Christina has successfully managed employee engagement departments and has also been part of the HR division, and has received several personal as well as professional and team industry awards. So we're going to find out all about those. Hello, Christina. How are you?
Hi, Craig. I'm very well, thank you. It's such a pleasure to speak to you today.
And it's an absolute pleasure to you. And I know you disclosed it's your day off as well. So I'm really grateful, and I'm sure the listeners are really grateful for you giving up your time on your day off. So Atlantis Dubai, I'm sure some of our guests, our listeners have maybe been guests at your wonderful establishment. But tell us a little bit about Atlantis Dubai for those people who aren't familiar with it.
Well, Atlantis Dubai is one of the largest resorts in the world. It's an integrated resort, and we have a huge water park that fits up to 10,000 people. We have 28 restaurants. We have a dolphin bay and a sea lion point. We have 1,548 guest rooms, and we have over 2,200 colleagues to be exact, from 87 nationalities. So it's a really beautiful representation of what Dubai is about, because Dubai is really about, it's about people, and it's about culture, and it's about diversity, and how all of these different people from over 100 nationalities in the UAE fit together into this giant, beautiful melting pot, which is such a thriving country at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, that's a really nice introduction. So we met on LinkedIn, and we had a chat, and as I do with all my guests, and, you know, I was really interested when you were talking about, you know, this, what you just started to talk about there, this hugely diverse workforce. And as we all know, any of us who've been to resorts or hotels know, it's a 24/7 operation. So I'm really keen to talk to you about that. But just before we dive into that, I'd love to know a little bit about you, because I we'll put some notes in the some links in this into the show notes. You're kind of you've got a really strong personal brand as well, which I really like when I speak to guests. So I'd just really like to talk about you and find out a little bit about your journey in internal comms and employee engagement, and just understand a little bit about why you're so passionate about it, because I think we all are. But it's always really nice to hear, you know, what led you to be this passionate about internal comms and employee engagement, Christina.
Well, you know, Craig, it's a very interesting story because I think with a lot of passions, they begin from an early age. So when I started employee engagement at Atlantis in 2008, I hadn't thought about what attracted me to the role and what really drew me to that role. But a few years later, I started thinking about, you know, why do I enjoy this place so much and what makes me great at my job? So I started looking at my, you know, my childhood and my background, and I couldn't help but really put together a pattern there. You know, when I was a child in fourth grade and fifth grade, I was great at creative writing and I was in the literature club. Later on in high school, I was part of the school paper and I was then later in charge of the yearbook. When I was at university, I was part of the university magazine. A little bit later, one of my careers or one of my jobs was a journalist, an investigative journalist, actually, where I looked at EU matters, medical tourism, immigration matters. And actually, one of my favorite projects was with one of my colleagues from the news, from the magazine, was we went to the countries in Europe, in the European Union, that had already joined the Eurozone. So they had adopted the Euro. And Malta, where I was living at the time, Malta was about to adopt the Euro, and everyone was feeling very nervous about it. They were talking about inflation, the rise of cost of living. So we decided to embark on this really cool adventure, and we visited all the countries that were in the Eurozone. And we interviewed people from the streets, regular people. We interviewed politicians. We interviewed journalists to see how the Euro and the adoption of the Euro in their countries had affected their lives. And this is where I really solidified my love for journalism through this big, wonderful project. And then when I joined Atlantis in 2008, that was probably the reason, one of the reasons why I was selected to join as manager of the employee marketing team. And employee marketing is really a cool, fancy way of just saying employee engagement and internal comms and employee relations all wrapped up into one neat job title.
Yeah. Okay. So that's where you develop that passion for communicating and getting messages across, but also, I guess, talking to people as well and finding about what they're thinking about, feeling about, and how you address some of those concerns and thoughts. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. And your YouTube channel, tell the listeners a little bit about that, and let's get sort of entice them in to go and have a look at your videos. What do you? I've had a look at some of them, but just explain a little bit about your channel and what you do on there.
So I've for the last couple of years, I've been wanting to do a YouTube channel because I have so much experience in employee engagement, and I thought I'd share this experience with whoever's either looking to create an employee engagement department, an internal comms department, or to put together a better strategy for something that is already in existence. And I really wanted to share, and I continue to want to share that with the audience and with my viewers and listeners to help create positive workplaces, really thriving positive workplaces all over the world. And in this case, you know, I mean, we work probably between 8 to 10 hours every day, right? For the majority of us. So if you're in a workplace that has a great culture and a great sense of camaraderie and a sense of belonging, then your 8 to 10 hours a day fly by and you don't really consider it as work. So I really wanted to share with people how I've done it and how they can do it.
That's really generous. And I like that. And you know, I think that's a really... For me, that's really interesting and really, I think it's brilliant that you know, you're working for a big organization, you know, you're a salaried employee at Atlantis at Resorts, and yet you've got this, you know, you're finding the time to be benevolent and also share that experience, which I think is really great. And I wish to a certain extent, that people don't have the skills or the knowledge to be able to do that. I think sometimes it's just the confidence to be able to, share what they know, because I think sometimes we undervalue our own knowledge and think that everybody knows that, but actually it's not always the case, is it? So that's brilliant.
You're completely right.
That note, Yeah, on that note then, let's tap into some of that experience, Christina. So as I said, and you mentioned at the beginning, which, you know, it's a phenomenally complex organization. I think any of us who do internal comms would, you know, the thought of a 24/7 operation and the diversity and all the different languages and cultures you're dealing with and different, you know, demographics, that sort of thing must be really challenging. So, I mean, maybe if you could sum up what are some of those, the challenges, but also, I guess, from what you've just said there, the things that keep you interested and keep your passion going around, you know, how to keep all of these people engaged and on the same page, and also delivering great customer service is a key thing as well. So tell us a little bit about what are some of those challenges and how you as a professional deal with them.
Well, it's actually the challenges that keep me engaged. I love challenges and I love making sure that every day at work is a completely different day, and every program and project and campaign and engagement strategy that is put in place is always diverse, because, you know, we've had people that work there for 5 years, for 10 years, and they don't want to see the same old regurgitated stuff coming up every day, right? They want to be surprised. Hospitality in general is in the business of creating amazing experiences and everlasting memories. So how do we, as internal employee marketers, how do we do that for our colleagues? How do we do that for the employees? And earlier you mentioned, you know, how can I, as an employee engagement professional, how can I impart this knowledge to others in other organizations and other workplaces in other countries? It doesn't matter that I work in the hospitality industry, because what I share through my YouTube channel or even through our conversation today can be adapted in any company, whether it's large or small, whether it has a multinational workforce, whether it's a hospitality industry or a manufacturing industry. So it's really universal. And the secret to that is care and connection. If you manage to connect with the people around you in a genuine way, if you show that you care and that you do really care, then you've already kind of opened that first door, you know. Part of the challenges, obviously, with working with 87 nationalities is obviously adapting your English style or your communication style in such a way that it's fun, but is also serious and is also understandable for everyone. Which we don't always manage. You know, people in general read and see and hear what they want to see and hear. And sometimes what you think is a very straightforward message is misconstrued. So you really need to be careful, and you really need to actually focus on not just one style of communication and one type of communication, like, for example, the written communication, but you also need to use, you know, verbal communication. You need to use a video communication, intranet channel. So it's really digital notice boards, posters. So it's really about varying it up, you know. Like, we have different learning styles, we also have different communication styles. And I personally prefer to see something written, but others love to go, if I'm studying something, for example, I need to study it from a book. But there are others who love going to YouTube or to Udemy or any online courses that they could hear a person speaking, or YouTube videos or whatever it is. So the way communication in general must be centered is by adapting to people's various styles. So this is one of the challenges, which I think we have managed very well. Something else that's pretty tough, actually, is the fact that the hotel does work 24/7. So you need to make sure that, you know, you hit the touch points of all the people in the different shifts. You know, you have morning shift and afternoon shift, but then people sometimes forget evening shifts, you know, those that come for the midnight service of whatever it is. So how does your message translate to them? How does it reach them? And then you have, obviously, you're going to have to ensure that you have spokespeople, you have your engagement champions, you have your communication champions in every single department. because it's not just a push communication, but it's a pull communication, right? It's a two-way open and honest communication that you're looking for to create that sense of engagement and belonging with people. And then you have to do that with different people. It's not just one department that is in charge of communication, but it's the team leaders, it's the leaders, it's the supervisors, the managers that are all in charge. And this is what I always say to my colleagues and to people I meet and talk about employee engagement about. It's really not one person's role in the organization to be an employee engager.
Yeah.
Everyone is responsible for that. And you as a person are responsible for your own engagement first and foremost. And then it could be your manager, your supervisor, you know, a person like me that is in charge of an actual department.
Yeah.
I'll just
pause there because I think there's a lot that I'd like to just sort of just quick, you know, you've mentioned a lot there, and I think I just want to kind of recap. So one of the things you said there right at the beginning was care.
Yes.
And so when you talk about care, you're talking about you care for them or you care for the customer or both. I think that's a really important part of demonstrating your own commitment to the organization or to your employees. Would just say a little bit more about that, how you demonstrate care and how that comes across, because care is it's something you have to actually feel, isn't it? It's not just something you don't tell them you care. You have to demonstrate that through your actions as well.
So I recently read a very interesting quote. I think probably some of our listeners may know about this, but I didn't. And the quote was, if you care less about your people, they start to become careless. And I love that. It resonated really well with me. So in a hospitality environment, there's a certain type of person that fits really well within that hospitality environment. It's someone who is caring by nature. It's someone who's warm, who loves to make those personal connections. You know, it's that waiter that comes to you and wishes you good morning and finds out about your plans for today. It's that receptionist that checks you in and suggests some of her favorite things that you can experience at the resort. So it's really creating that sense of engagement with the employees so that they may in turn show their sense of engagement with the guests. And that is created through care.
Yeah.
And
is that embedded? So, I mean, obviously that you strike me as someone who probably is caring and in your, the way you interact with people, but and then transmitting that into your communications, the tone of voice. And I know you talked about various different channels. I guess that keeping that consistency about care, because as you say, I think it's infectious, isn't it? It's very hard to get employees to care for your guests in the way you just talked about there if they don't feel cared for themselves by their employer. So I guess it must be quite a challenge to make sure that you've got that consistency of people feeling cared for throughout all of your communications, because I guess some of those can be quite, you know, direct and operational in nature and not just customer centric ones, I guess.
So, absolutely. So it's not just about communicating with positivity, right? Because that's the first and foremost, for me at least, the first and foremost rules in terms of communication. You must communicate in a way that's positive. And if the message is not positive, then those that read it need to know the reason that this is happening. Because once you explain the reason, then they understand why you're, you know, putting their accommodation on lockdown, for example.
Yeah. We'll come on to that in a moment. And sorry, another thing you talked about there, which I just wanted to make sure we've got enough time to talk about, is you talked about the how your, you know, the communication role is dispersed. And I totally agree with you, you know, as employee engagement leads or communications leads, we need to have some skills ourselves, but we also need to be influencing and facilitating other people in the organization to be doing that job. It's not just us who does that. You mentioned a little bit there about, you know, having team leaders and having champions. Just to tell the listeners a little bit about how you've structured that in terms of, you know, this kind of army of communicators that you've got within the organization, getting these messages out to everyone.
So, of course, there's always room for improvement as the years progress. But you have, I mean, in a hotel, and I think that this happens probably less in other types of industries. In hotels, you have morning briefings or you have shift briefings where you have all the important communication related to that department, plus the important communication related to the hotel or related to the person's benefits in case they've been changed. So we encourage the team leaders or the assistant managers or the managers that are leading these shift briefings, for example, to make sure that they communicate together with their departmental information to make sure that they communicate ours as well, our communication with their teams.
Yeah.
And obviously, besides the usual communication that we send out through multi-channels, we meet with certain very influential people within the departments or within the divisions of the hotel and you know, have meetings. Often enough, we love writing emails. Communicators love writing emails. It's about visiting people in their offices. It's about meeting them in the lunchroom or in the colleague restaurant or, you know, in the smoking area if someone smokes, or just speaking to them in the bus and making sure that what you're communicating is, first of all, understood by those key influential people and that they can translate your message. So it's not always structured. A lot of the times what works very well, and I'm sure this works for other organizations, if it's unstructured, but if it's, again, it adds more to the authenticity. When you have an impromptu meeting and you visit someone and say, hey, you know what, we've just, you know, adapted this policy, and what do you think about it? And this way you can not only communicate what you want to communicate to your champions, but you also get feedback, informal feedback, immediate feedback through them.
No, I think where I've come across that before, actually, you said it's maybe unique to the hospitality industry, but and I think I've come across that in manufacturing as well. Mm-hmm. I know it's not let maybe the difference there is probably when people go into you know, in a manufacturing environment, they tend to work in fairly static places, or most people do anyway, you know, their workstation or their line or whatever. And obviously in a hotel or in a complex like yours, people can be all over the place, I guess, unless they're on a fixed role. But having a briefing, or we used to call them huddles or briefings, at the beginning of a shift is really important, because you want to kind of orientate people. You want to have that handover process, which I think is always really important, isn't it?
Yeah. In any, you said the tone.
24/7. Yeah. And, but also, you know, it's that touch point. And I think that's one of the things I really like about what you just talked about there. And I think, and I found this in my manufacturing career as well. And I think sometimes organizations that aren't 24/7 could learn from this, which is about really having good capabilities within their managers to be able to keep people up to date and informed about what's going on. And I think you have to do that in a hotel or in a factory, because as you say, you've got those touch points at the beginning and end of the shift where you need people to know what they're doing today, what's happened yesterday, what's going to be happening next week, and you need them to then go off and have that in their mind. I think sometimes when it isn't a shift environment, that people tend to miss out on that opportunity to have line managers who can do that, you know. And it's not just a team briefing thing. It's about, you know, keeping my team in the picture and making sure that they know what's going on. And sometimes I think we neglect that as a key skill, I think, within line managers. Anyway, there you go. That might move me off my soapbox now, but I think it's really good that you talked about that. One of the things you talked about there when we were explaining a little bit about some of the challenges as well was around the mindset of your employees. And I think that's really, you know, and at the best hotels and the best resorts I've been to, you're absolutely right. You know, it's people who, you know, no, they're not just going off some sort of mental script. They're clearly, you know, thinking and asking questions because they care. How do you make sure how do you get those people? Because I guess there's a lot of people want to come and work for you. You've got, and I'm not just talking about recruitment and selection, but I'm talking about how do you find those people and how do you make sure that they keep those, that in mind when they're working for the resort?
Oh, that's a really complicated question.
Sorry.
It's
questions in one.
I love that. I love that. It reminds me of the type of questions that I ask.
it sounded like an interview question, didn't it? I'm sorry. A job interview question. Sorry. Yeah. No, I didn't mean it like that. No, I'm just genuinely interested, because it always fascinates me that organizations want this type of person. You know, recruitment processes are notoriously unreliable at actually finding them, and you only really find out whether they're the people you've recruited once they're in the door. And then once you've got them, you've then got to keep them going and keep them motivated. So I'm just interested about that whole getting the, and I used to work with a guy, and he used to talk it cultural fit or organizational fit. You know, it wasn't just about whether they could do the job, it's do they fit into our culture. And I think that's must be massively important in an organization like yours.
Well, first of all, Craig, every conversation is an interview. So your previous question could have been an interview question. But yeah, jokes apart, I think in Dubai, we're very fortunate in terms of talent pools, because we have so many people from all over the world, not just within the UAE, that want to come to Dubai and they want to work in Dubai. And Atlantis in itself has a great customer brand name. And it also has an awesome employer and an employee brand name as well, and a brand reputation. So for certain, you know, for the positions that we do have vacant, there's often hundreds and thousands of applicants, which gives us a very good possibility to select someone from a very interesting background. It doesn't necessarily need to be from the same industry, but it should be someone that's got the right attitude, someone that has the skill set and the experience. But we're lucky that way that we can select from a very rich pool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once they become Atlanteans, then, you know, we hire for attitude, and then we train as well. We train for skills if that's necessary. The way we keep them engaged is a very, very, I think that was the complex part of the question. It's a very multi-prong approach. So it's not just my department that is in charge of employee engagement, but it's different levels in the organization. So for example, the senior leaders, they are as much in charge of employee engagement as the HR team. It's also the departmental managers or the directors or the team leaders. So everyone who's in charge of someone at any level can engage or disengage a person. But I'm going to go back to what I do, and which is employee engagement and internal comms, and say that, you know, our strategy, which is obviously created a year ahead with a calendar of all the activities and events and programs that we're doing, our strategy has it's got three different levels that we focus on. One is the internal communications, of course, which is as I said in the beginning, it's really about creating that sense of belonging and that meaning and purpose in the employee's life through your communications. And those could be, you know, your town hall meetings, the quarterly town hall meetings, or the monthly one, depending on, you know, the organization. Recently, we've started doing monthly virtual town hall meetings as well. You know, you have your newsletters, you have your videos from the leadership team, the digital notice boards, the print magazines, so we have a term called back of house, which is the back of house of the hotel where the offices are. And those walls that form the back of house are a giant billboard for us. And we have a lot of beautiful campaigns that are put up there, whether it's, you know, your organizational mission and vision, or recognition, or you know, the long service recognition or loyalty from employees. So it's really about communication. That's one facet of employee engagement. Another one is, I meant internal communications.
Yeah.
Second facet is rewards and recognition. It's important for any organization to celebrate, whether it's a small win or a big win. And at Atlantis, we have a lot of awards, whether they're food and beverage awards or room rewards, a lot of industry accolades. So it's important to recognize and reward those people who help bring those rewards to the hotel. And also, of course, the behaviors. And then the third facet, or the third bucket, if you want to call that, are all the activities that we do, whether they're mental, physical, social, cultural, all the activities that gel the people, that create that sense of community and belonging. And one thing about, I think you could probably say that about most successful hotels, is that sense of community and pride that people have for their place of work. And once you have that created, then people will show that, I'm going to go back to care, people will show that genuine care for their guests, because it's, you feel like you're welcoming guests to your home, you know, because you're proud of where you work, and as you're hopefully proud of your home. And this is what hospitality truly means, right? You're hospitable, you're welcoming someone to your home, and you're showing them that warmth and connecting with them on a not so basic level, but maybe on a more in-depth level. And then, of course, you have the learning and development part. You have the talent management part. You have the career progression, which all form part of employee engagement and the employee experience as a whole.
Yeah. I think it's great that you've got the line of sight for the whole, you know, I know it's not necessarily all directly under your remit, but you've got that kind of clarity of all of that, because I think it's really important to think of that whole employee journey, isn't it, in terms of engagement and once you've got the right people, making sure that you keep hold of them and that they carry on, you know, doing the great things that you employed them for. I think that's really important. One thing I want to just as we sort of start to bring things to a conclusion, is I think we've managed to avoid it. We're about 30 minutes in and we've managed to avoid it, is the inevitable question, which is, you know, we're just at the beginning of 2021. We've probably been through one of the toughest years economically in the world, but certainly in hospitality. I mean, just if you could give us a summary of what the last 10 months have been like for you, and how you, you know, with someone clearly who's passionate about your people and about your customers, how you've got through that and how you've managed to keep that energy and passion going, because you still sound as though you've got lots of energy left, which is great. I think there's a lot of people who are kind of desperately in need of recharging their batteries, and you sound as really, really kind of still full of passion and energy. So what's it been like for you? How have you kept people engaged and communicated with, you know, notwithstanding the fact that it's probably been you've had to let a few people either, you know, go temporarily or furloughed or whatever. But tell us a little bit about what's been happening, Christine, please.
I mean, so for the last 10 months, it's been really a roller coaster ride. And I think Atlantis as a resort prepares you for that, because, I mean, one day you're helping to create the biggest concert in the world, the live stream concert, which is KISS, for example. Another day you could be preparing for a gala dinner of the air show where you'd have the likes of Jennifer Lopez or Katy Perry performing. A third day you could be putting together the ballroom or setting up the ballroom for one of the local artists here, Sasha Jeffrey, who was responsible for putting together and painting the largest painting in the world. So it's every day is a huge challenge, but it's a fun challenge. So I think it's in our DNA to be prepared and resilient and really to expect the unexpected. So when, you know, when the pandemic hit, which was last year in March, our communication style completely changed in terms of frequency. So in the past, if we've had a newsletter once a week, it became daily. Sometimes it was a couple of times daily. We then went into lockdown, and it was a very strict lockdown. So the accommodation where our colleagues live, which probably has about 2,000 plus people, you know, with employees and their families, that accommodation also went into very strict lockdown. So people couldn't see their next door friends. They couldn't see the neighbors from the next door building, because Dubai and the rest of the world, as you know, was on lockdown. And the only permission that you could get to go out of the building or out of the house was to go to the doctor or to go to work. Or to go to the supermarket. So something which is really cool, and I'm so proud of the team for putting this together, is we did a weekly video newsletter or a weekly magazine where we read the news out like a proper newscast. We had the news of the week. We had competitions. We had interviews with people. And we really made that 20-minute to 30-minute video newsletter something fun and something that people would look forward to. So besides the regular communication that they would get on a daily basis, we would keep everyone engaged and everyone really motivated through this video newsletter, which was called The Atlantis Flash Live. And then we used a lot of positive psychology interventions, one of which I can mention here was we did a gratitude campaign, a one-month gratitude campaign where we really emphasized and actually had colleagues emphasize and talk about what they're grateful for. And this created that sense of positivity as well. Within the team. We also had a very interesting CSR-related campaign. It was called Clean and Green in Quarantine. Again, it was a competition. It was environmentally related, but it brought people together. And in times like that, in times of crisis, it's really important to give people those glimmers of hope, those projects that they can work on, that they can make a difference, because people felt powerless. They didn't know what was going on. They were just waiting for something to happen. And when you feel powerless and really unable to change what's happening around you or to create what's happening around you, you become very disengaged, not just with work, but with life. So we wanted to give our employees and their families that sense of purpose, to rekindle that and maybe create different avenues that they hadn't thought of before. Besides that, I mentioned earlier that we had live stream town hall meetings. Those became monthly. We had a lot of different videos that came out as well from our senior leaders. And it was just, it was probably about a 5 to 6 month, very intense communication and engagement focused campaign to make sure that people have a sense of their sense of morale is really high. And it paid off because we did an engagement survey. Actually, we did a well-being survey and the result from that was 95% engagement. We recently did an engagement survey that was 88% engagement. So people were really thankful for everything, not just what the HR team did, but what the leadership team did for the employees as well in terms of care.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well done. I mean, it sounds like you really, you came at it from all angles. And where are you now? I mean, obviously we're sort of at the beginning of 2021. I mean, what are you looking into for the rest of 2021? Obviously, it's not going to be business as usual immediately, but I mean, what are you looking forward to this coming year?
I mean, Craig, it's actually been a very interesting couple of months. From the last quarter of 2020, because the weather in Dubai gets amazing from October onwards. And as people started having that psychological safety to travel and, the corridors opened up. So we've had quite a lot of visitors in the hotel and our occupancy has been phenomenal. So like I was saying, December was such a busy month for us. It was actually busier than the previous year. So we're looking forward to a 2021 that's filled with different kind of work, but also very engaging work. And for me personally, I would want to have a lot more use of technology because we don't use technology enough in employee engagement. So there's a lot of different apps and programs that create a virtual experience, virtual recognition, virtual parties. And if we can't have, if we can no longer have parties of hundreds of people or thousands of people, then we cannot forget celebration and rewards and recognition. We need to adapt. So I'm looking forward to using a lot more of that. And I've actually started learning more on that. And that's one thing that I think will be pretty cool for 2021.
Yeah, well, no, that's good. And I think, you know, as you say, it's an opportunity to learn and you do things that, you know, continue doing some of the things that you've done well and continue those on, because they're obviously clearly viable for the future, you know, regardless of whether we're in a pandemic or not, which hopefully we won't be for much longer. But yeah, well, look, that has been absolutely amazing, Christine. I really thank you for sharing those insights, as you do, as we said already, you know, with you're benevolent anyway as an individual, but to share those with our listeners is really, really wonderful. I think you've given us an amazing insight into what sounds like an incredibly complex but also really well coordinated operation. It sounds like you've got a fantastic culture there that obviously is critical to your customer service, but you know, it sounds like you really go above and beyond that in order to create not only a great customer experience but an amazing employee experience. So I'm going to ask you the question I ask all of my interviewees right at the end of an interview, which I know you know is coming. Yeah, the curtains, a drum roll. You know, and I ask all of my interviewees, and I'm always amazed by the diversity of things that I get back. Is to, you know, imagine I obviously we've only just met, so anything you tell me will be new. But people who, you know, kind of know you quite well and work with you for a few years, perhaps, or you know, personally, you know well, would go, I never knew that. If you revealed it to them, it might be something you've done in the past, or it might be something you do now. So we're all ears, Christina. Tell us your secret.
Well, the first bit is not a secret, which is I recently completed my master's degree in positive psychology, applied positive psychology.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And through the learnings of the master's degree and also through the dissertation that I wrote, I've decided to write a book. So the book is the secret.
Wonderful. And I've written a couple of books, so I can maybe give you some knowledge on that. But yeah, when are you planning to start that? Have you started writing the book yet? We're all book writers. We've all been writing a book. We just haven't taken the time to put pen to paper. That's my philosophy anyway. But no, when are you actually going to start the process, or have you already started?
I have started the process. I have the outline already. Mm-hmm. And I plan to complete it by the end of 2021. So that's something also that I look forward to. But I wanted to save that bit for your last question.
Well, thank you. Thank you for keeping that back. And then obviously once the book is released, you'll have to let us know, and maybe we'll get you back on the show and you can tell us all about what we can learn from your wonderful book. And that's something else you're looking forward to in 2021. Then you can, at the end of 2020, you'll be able to tell everyone you are a published author, which is always a nice thing to do. Fantastic. Well, look, it has been absolutely wonderful speaking to you. I'm looking out of my window now. It's a really cold morning in the UK, and I'm kind of thinking it must be, what's the temperature like in Dubai at the moment where you are?
It's in the 30s.
I think it's about 2 or 3 degrees here at the moment. I'm thinking, and we're really short days at the moment in the Northern Hemisphere, and well, in our part of the Northern Hemisphere anyway. So look, I'm very envious of you, and you, but I'm sure you've got a lot of, are you working over, do you work on the weekends, or is that something you don't have to worry about, or?
Well, you know, if you're in this line of business, you're always working.
Of course, yes. I was kind of thinking when I asked the question, I was like, is this a dumb question to ask someone who's in the hospitality industry if they're working the weekend? But yeah.
Officially, no.
No.
But if you're within, especially in the HR department, our customers are the employees, and we can't tell them it's the weekend if they need something.
No, I know. That's why I felt a bit strange asking that question.
Because
I know
it's okay.
When I used to sort of work in factories, you know, you'd sort of inadvertently say to someone on the way out that you know have a nice weekend, and then you think, yeah, I know you're working a weekend. I don't know why I said that. It was a really stupid thing to have said.
No. And Craig, don't be envious about our weather, because your summer is by far better than our summer here when we're in the high 40s and 50s. So
that's different, isn't it? Different. But look, we're going to put some notes in the show notes. Certainly going to put the link to your YouTube channel. I'm going to put the link into your LinkedIn profile, which I guess is a good way for people who want to find out more about you or talk to you, or maybe even get you on their podcast as well. Any other ways that you would like to be contacted by anyone who's listening to the show?
I mean, I'm a big fan of Facebook as well. My name is my Facebook name is my name, so Christina Vaneva.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're going to send me a new link to your YouTube channel. Yes. If you're okay for me to share your Facebook profile as well, I'll do that as well. And obviously, I know some people, you know, everything business related goes through one channel, and everything personal goes through another. So, well, if you're happy with that, that's absolutely fine. And I'll certainly be keeping in touch with you, and I'll certainly be finding out about this book when it's finished. And I'll be looking forward to a signed copy, please.
I'll be looking forward to giving you one.
Fantastic. Well, look, I wish you all the best. I wish you and all of your colleagues the best for the coming year. I know it's been a really challenging year, but it sounds like you know, you're doing some amazing work. And when we can travel again, you know, and particularly I've been to Dubai a couple of times, I might be giving you a shout just to see, see if there's any special deals that you can do for me. No, any joking, but no, that would be fantastic. Fantastic. Anyway, well, look, have a wonderful rest of your day off. And as I said, if the weekend doesn't have any work demands for you, or even if it does, have a fantastic weekend as well.
Thank you so much, Craig. And thank you to all our listeners for being with us all the way till the end.
I hope they have. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, Christina. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
So thank you for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show and any questions, ideas, or feedback that you'd have, anything you'd like us to cover on future episodes too, please. So you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. Or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up to our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show and anything that we think you might be interested in when it comes to internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it directly via your podcast service. And you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review, and also if you could leave some verbal feedback there as well, not just stars. That's always nice to know that we've been appreciated, and particularly how we've helped you. If you know anyone else who might like the show or might benefit from it, please tell them, please share it with them, please share the link to our website, engagingic.com. And that would be great, because we want to grow our community. We want to get as many people involved in the show as possible. And the bigger, the better. Okay, thank you.